We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Let it rip. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Chris McMonagle.
Sports Radio.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Chris McMonagle here with you on this Friday night, the Friday after Thanksgiving. Hope everybody had a good holiday. I'm glad to be back with you. Obviously, you just heard the Nets. They drop one in Indiana, 128-117. Blow it in the fourth quarter. A team they should beat, but just with where they are, they're not beating anybody. And same for the Knicks, who are coming off a good road trip. Come back home and lose to Portland without Damian Lillard, 132-129. And they have an R.J. Barrett problem. They have a lot of problems. But we'll get to that as we get along because we have giant problems too. We'll open with the football. And you know, it's funny. How long have I been talking about all we're looking for as not just Giant fans, as Jet fans in this weird, horrible football city we've had for the last 6 years? All we've talked about is, you know, just get me to Thanksgiving with a season. I've said it forever. Just get to Thanksgiving with a season. And I don't care how we do it. Let's just get there. I'm tired of these dead seasons. And yet here we are. And it's the weirdest freaking season I can ever remember. Because as a Giant fan, you're in one of the more odd places you've... I can't imagine being in a weirder spot. I mean, it's good because they're 7-4. And it's light years better what you thought they would be. Light years better than what you thought they would be. And you could see how much coaching impacts in the NFL and with Brian Daboll and, you know, Joe Shane on some level, what they've done to this Giant team and the way they play and the way they've gotten to the 7-4 record and the grit and the guile. But as you watch this team and as we get ready for the Jets Bears coming off, obviously their quarterback decision and not being able to beat the Patriots for the 13th consecutive time, is you got these two winning teams right now at 7-4 and 6-4. On Thanksgiving weekend, for years, that's all I've been asking for is winning football. And here we are in a spot right now where you look at the New York Giants coming off a loss on Thanksgiving Day. And I know you saw it. 42 million people saw it. The largest audience for an NFL regular season game ever. So we all watched it. And we watched this team do what they do for a half, which you know, encapsulated the first half of this season, this tough football, making big plays, you know, a couple turnovers, making it close against a team you know that they're not as good as. And then the second half is what I'm fearing the second half of the season is going to be, where they just flat out get outclassed in talent. And we've been, you know, ignorantly, we've gone through this season with like this ignorance is bliss kind of mentality that we're going to close our eyes, and we're not going to look at this Giant team for what we probably know what they are, which is not a talented enough team to be where they are, where they've done it with these keeping games close and pulling, you know, victories out of the fire in late situations against, you know, Green Bay in London or against Baltimore or against these different teams, Tennessee to open up the year. I mean, this was a team that's doing it on ways you can't imagine how they're doing it. And now as they obviously, guess, get beset and besieged by injuries, and the defensive backfield's a mess, and the offensive line is a mess, and the wide receiving core, which was terrible to start with, but now really with Wandale Robinson going out and Galladay being an absolute zero, there is nothing there besides Slayton, just absolutely nothing. Richie is their second best wide receiver. You know, James is their second best wide receiver. They have absolutely nothing in that department. And as you watch this team now, 7-4 at Thanksgiving, in the playoff hunt in their division. As the season goes along here, you got two more. You got two games against the Eagles. You got two games against the Washington Commanders. You got a game against Minnesota. This is not an easy schedule the rest of the way. And as you watch this team kind of miraculously get through the season into where they are now, I'm really starting to worry that the second half of the season is what this season is going to be known for. Because it's one thing to go into the season with the talent you figured they have. And hell, the GM was trying to give you every reason not to get too excited. At the beginning of the year, Joe Shane was trying to temper enthusiasm as much as I've ever seen a GM, to the point that it frustrated me. I'm like, listen, I know, Joe, we're going to be bad, but like, can we have some hope heading into this thing? And we got from that point to where they are. It's 6-1. It's 7-2. And you just can't, you know, and you got these dreams and visions of grandeur that this team could win a division, to the point where on a Monday night game against Washington to Philadelphia, Giant fans are rooting for Washington, hoping to keep the Eagles somewhat down to earth and possibly win a division. And we see now that where we are, we much rather would have had Philadelphia win that game, because Washington's on their heels for the last playoff spot. But as this season starts to get along here, and yeah, the injuries, you just start to feel that this team that's been doing it with smoke and mirrors is going to get to a point now where the stretch of this year is going to be its downfall, and the feeling of, wow, they're 7-2. And because once you get there, at the beginning of the year, it's nice to say, wow, 7-2, can you imagine? It would be great. I can't, if they ever went 7-2, we'd be jumping and doing dances. But once you get there, now it's a different story. Now you're 7-2. Now you expect to be a playoff team. Everybody, oh, well, they'll be a playoff team. They'll be a playoff team. And then they lose a game to the Lions at home they shouldn't lose. And then they go on the road to Dallas and get beat by a much better team that has much higher aspirations than what the Giants have, a team that's looking to take this NFC and go all the way to the Super Bowl with the talent they have and possibility of adding Beckham to it. But now once you're 7-2, the expectations change. And as you watch this team, it's hard to envision this team as a team you're going to figure finishes down the stretch well enough to make this postseason. It's going to be a tough slog, and that leads you to the quarterback and his play. And I have not been a big Daniel Jones fan. From the beginning, yes, I was the guy who wanted them to trade for Russell Wilson. I know. What an idiot I am. But at the same time, it was because I didn't have much faith in Daniel Jones, and he's impressed me. How could he not? He's led this team in victories. He's practically willed them down the field in late situations. He's used his legs more this year. They've called plays more for him this year. He's in a much better offense and a much better scheme, and he's winning football games. But when you watch him try and make plays, when plays need to be made, when it comes down to it, when you realize that the team they're playing is better than the team they're playing is going to score points on your defense, despite the fact your defense has been good all year, with the defensive backfield injuries, with all the different things, you could tell in the second half the Cowboys were scoring points. And when Daniel Jones tries to keep up with a team like that and score points, you see what happens. The throws are inaccurate. He has a terrible throw to Barkley on the fourth down play. It was in his hands, and you always want to catch a ball in your hands, but if he leads him, he's got a 20-yard gain there. It's a terrible throw. He made mistakes, and this is why I was clamoring to go out get a wide receiver at the trade deadline, because I want to give him weapons, because we're 4 years into Daniel Jones, and we're still at the point where we're not sure who he is, and to me, that's unacceptable. And I understand this is year one of Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. I understand they really had no other option. They didn't pick up his fifth-year option, so they didn't show that much faith in him. There was really nothing else to do but to play him. They put him in a better scheme. He got some winning. Everyone's feeling better about him. But honestly, when it comes down to it, what is he? All right, now we look across town and we feel like we know now that that is not the answer with the Jets. We don't feel the same way about Daniel Jones. But watching these games and seeing this offense yet again unable to put up 30 points. They never score 30. They haven't scored 30 since week 5 of 2020. They don't score points. And we can blame the offensive line in years past and the play calling in years past, and we can blame the wide receivers now. That's why I wanted to go out and get a wide receiver at the trade deadline, because I was tired of excuses for Daniel Jones. And as much as he's won this year, and as much as he's been a great surprise, and as much as, you know, he's made things happen with his arms and his legs, and he's won games you didn't think he'd win, when it comes down to it, I don't know if he's capable of being a franchise quarterback. And right now, he hasn't played the way you would expect a top 5 or 6 pick in the draft, which is where he was selected, to be a game manager. That's not good enough. Like, I've been hearing it this whole year. Well, listen, you know, what do you expect? He makes the plays. He manages the game. Yeah, they don't score points, but they're winning football. They're winning football games on a new defensive scheme from an unbelievable defensive coach in Wink Martindale, who's turned things around in an instant here with the defense, the emergence of Dexter Lawrence, and, you know, a myriad of other players, Leonard and Xavier McKinney before the injury, and Adoree Jackson was playing great, and you've seen Love now step up and become a legitimate safety in this league. All of those things happened, and it led them to play these tight games, and then they were making the big play when they needed to make the play. But I'm not looking for a game manager. I'm looking for a playmaker. And he's made them with his legs occasionally, and he's done better than I thought, and they've won more football games. But here we are again, and we're 7-4, the New York Giants, after Thanksgiving, still alive in this season. But they're about to hit a tough stretch of this year. They're down offensive linemen. They're down wide receivers. They're down defensive backs. And they're going to need plays from their quarterback down the field against guys who have a tough time getting open. And we're going to watch this and try and figure out what he is and where the Giants go. And you could find yourself, if you're the New York Giants, in the same boat as what the probably New York Jets are going to be, and that's going to be looking for a quarterback in a winning season where you're not going to be at the top of the draft for one of these big-time quarterbacks that are coming out of the draft. You're not going to be there to make that pick. You're not going to be able to get one of those guys. You're going to be looking for either re-signing Daniel Jones at a reasonable contract or trying to get Derek Carr away from the Raiders or whatever you're going to be able to do to try and get someone who can make plays and bring him to your team. Now, the Jets are in a different situation than necessarily the Giants are, because the Jets are looking at this thing as almost the exact opposite. As crazy as the Giants have been winning these games without the talent, the Jets and their fans feel like they should be better than what they are with the talent they have. With the talent they have is the young receivers, and their defense looking like at least the top five, possibly the best defense in the league, and they expect to be better than 6-4. They expect to be better than losing two games to a Patriots team they feel they're better in. And then obviously right now you're seeing it's the quarterback taking the heat for it, and rightfully so. He's been dreadful. And they're just looking for someone. They are looking for that game manager. They're in a completely different situation. The Giants are looking for a guy who can make plays and take a team with less talent over the top and get them into a postseason down the stretch. And the Jets are just looking for someone to come in and be capable and take that talented roster, that excellent defense, and the rest of this team with playmakers at the wide receiver position, the running back position, and take that team to where it rightfully should be, which should be a major contender in the AFC and certainly in their division. And better than the Patriots, who they clearly are better than talent-wise. So even though we're happy, especially Giant fans, that they are 7-4, and I think most Jet fans would be pleased at 6-4. As much as we are used to dead seasons on Thanksgiving, and we don't have one this year, there's still this feeling of where we headed. The Jets against a winnable game against the Bears coming up on Sunday, but obviously the Mike White era part two will take place. We'll see if Justin Fields plays for them, but that's a winnable game. They're favored by 6 points. They should beat the Bears. And we'll get into whether or not, you know, what's going on with their quarterback situation, because I think I'm one of the few people around here who don't exactly love the idea they benched Wilson. I don't love it. I think if he really did lose the locker room, it's something you had to do, but I'm not ready to give the coach, you know, applause and have him take bows for taking out a quarterback in a situation where he's won games for them. He's got a winning record for them. And I think they're about to play a team they should be able to score points, move the football, and maybe build some confidence in this young kid instead of giving him the reset apparently he desperately needs. I can't complain about it because he's been horrible, and Mike White can't be worse, and we'll see what he does. But I don't think the Jets, you know, had this slam dunk, had no other choice move. I really don't. I think there was a way for Wilson to play this week, and if he played poorly, take him out in the middle of the game. I have no problem with that. I think we can bench quarterbacks, but the idea that this is the only choice the coach had, and he finally stepped up and took the reins as the Jet head coach, I think that's a little overblown. I think there were other ways to go about this. But the Mike White era starts for the New York Jets coming up on Sunday as they try to turn this season around after losing another tough one to the Patriots and try and build that talent that they have already into a winning team with capable quarterback play, and the Giants coming off a devastating loss to the Cowboys in front of the whole country on Thanksgiving Day, and you saw the haves and the have-nots. And despite the fact that the Giants are 7-4, they are a have-not, and it's going to be a tough second half of the season. And unfortunately, I think it's going to be yet again watching the Giants play football down the stretch of the season, wondering who's going to be the quarterback next year and for the next 5 years.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.